Well, let's welcome you back to This Week in the Association. I'm Rob Panier and with Kevin Lucco. And this time, Kevin and I have the pleasure of bringing back Gary South Shore Railcast announcer Ryan Zimmerman with us. I should say broadcaster. So, Ryan, thanks for joining us this week.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, Ryan, let's first of all talk about the team got off to a very fast start last season, kind of slumped down the stretch. As you look at last year's team leading into this year, what are your thoughts about moves that Lamar Rogers has made or things you think he might have learned from last year that he carries into this year?
Well, you know, the first year in a new situation like he was in the American Association, obviously he was a hitting coach with the St. Paul Saints for a long time, but this was his first time managing in the American Association. There was an adjustment period for him as well. I think he came into last year with a plan of how he wanted to do things and how he wanted to get the job done. But as good a manager he is, he adapted over the course of the season. And now that he has his feet wet as a manager in this league, I think he's starting to really develop an idea of what he wants and how he's going to execute that and who are going to be the people that will execute it for him. So I think a lot of the struggles down the stretch just had to do with a lot of the newness of it all and just guys that I kind of lost my train of thought here, but I feel like there was a lot of adjustment, and Lamar, I think, had that first taste of it, and while there was a lot of success, there was a lot of learning, and I think that was a big reason for that. This time around, though, I think with that year under his belt, I think he's going to learn from his mistakes and take that next step as a manager and progress this team.
I think one of the most exciting stories for the Railcats last season was the incredible power surge of the club. It set all kinds of team records and had individual records out of that. But I look at this lineup and think this could be even better this season. Is that the way that you see it?
Absolutely. Obviously, the team had never hit as many home runs as they did last year in a single season, 92 total, and Sam Abbott broke the longtime team single season record, became the first Railcat to hit 20 home runs in a season. But if I'm being completely honest, I would not be shocked if that record gets rebroken this year, and especially so if Sam's the one to re-break his own record. But you look up and down the roster, you can tell exactly the type of hitter Lamar wants on his team. He loves those lefty power bats, and he's brought in quite a few this year. You look at a guy like Emmanuel Tapia, who had really good numbers power-wise in the Atlantic League last year, Francisco Del Valle, who profiles, in my opinion, more as a five-tool guy, and he's got some pop in his bat as well. He spent last year in a couple of different places. He was able to get a few balls out, both from Tri-City and the Angels organization, and he had seven with the New York Boulders over in the Frontier League last year. You just realize just the type of shift that this team is going for, and they're playing a style of baseball where a home run is important, and not only does it make for a more exciting product on the field, but I think the renewed interest in swinging for the fences and bringing in guys who have power, it's led to wins.
Now let's talk about that rotation that you got going on this season. I thought it really got a lot of fantastic starts. Not going to have Adam Heidenfelder this year. How do you see this rotation materializing for the team this season?
That's a good question. Obviously, the rotation at the start of the year was a lot different to the rotation at the end of the year when Lamar decided to go with a more traditional five-man rotation, and all these guys had established roles. Obviously, Heidi's going to be a big loss. You wish him the best with what's next in his life. He's actually moving down to Florida right now. And I think by the time that we post this recording, or rather you post this recording, he'll be down there officially settled in. But a lot of the guys that came back, they're guys that Lamar really trusted. You look at relievers like Aaron Phillips, who led the team in appearances last year, Jack Eisenbarger, who was able to stretch out a little bit, got a couple of starts in July, finished the season as the team's leader in saves. Jared Price is coming back. He's got a really live arm. We had a spring training game yesterday. He was routinely hitting 92, 93 with his fastball. Looking even more in the pen to guys we brought back. Jason Medina, who was used in a lot of high leverage situations last year, he's now back. But you look at a lot of the guys that Lamar brought in. He's brought in guys with a lot of affiliated experience, and I think right away he's going to lean on that in these high leverage situations. These guys do have quite a bit of pedigree. Some examples, we actually just brought in a couple of new pitchers, Odi Nunez, who was not too long ago, Joan Valdez, he was in high A with the Dodgers. These guys are coming in with high pedigree. Oh, Ben Miller, another one who was one of the top pitchers in the California League last year in single A like Elsinore, but he's bringing in a lot of guys with affiliated experience who have been there before, know how to be successful in this game, know how to get outs late in ball games, and he's got a real stable of guys at the back end, and I think he can trust. From the rotation, I think you're going to see a lot of the same guys, Edward Cueto, Harrison Francis, John Sheiks. These are guys that have had success in this league quite a bit, and Chris Irwin's another one, but you take a look at the league stats, these are guys that played really well last year, and it showed pretty much throughout all competition, and now he's bringing these guys in who know how to be successful in the American Association. Hopefully that continues.
Do you feel, for most of the year, the Railcats were in a very good spot to make the playoffs until they were overtaken by Cleburne. Do you feel like that soon to end the 2022 season influenced some of the decisions on how Lamar was going to build his roster?
I think that's an accurate way of going about things. You know, a lot of the guys on last year's team, you know, I hate to speak ill of someone who can't defend himself, and I don't want what I'm about to say to be misinterpreted as that, but Lamar inherited Greg Taggart's roster at the beginning of the 2022 season, and when he was announced as the team's manager, it was in March. He only had 2 months to bring in some of his own guys and start to mold his team. So when you had that situation down the stretch when the Railcats and the Railroaders were going at it for that fourth place spot, Lamar was using a lot of guys that were inherited. And they're obviously really good ball players, and I wish them nothing but the best. They're excellent people too, but they just weren't Lamar's guys. They weren't the ones he trusted. They were just the options that he had available to him at the time. I think, as I mentioned earlier, he now has a grip of what this league has turned into, so now he can go out and find guys that fit the mold of what he wants in a pitcher and who he thinks have skill sets that translate to the American Association. So I think, yeah, definitely you could say that last season influenced the way he decided to go about building his roster in the offseason, because now he knows what it's like to manage in a playoff race. He knows what types of players can get the job done, and I think he brought in a lot of guys who can do just that.
Speaking of Greg Taggart, Ryan, the team begins at home with Winnipeg coming to town and Greg Taggart in that opposite dugout. What is the atmosphere around that? I mean, is this, you know, business as usual? Is this day one of the season, or is that being kind of something that's talked about in the community?
It's business as usual. You know, obviously, Greg Taggart is a great manager. He did so much for Northwest Indiana. He won 3 championships, and his number will be retired on game 2 of that series on Saturday, May 13th. And having never met him, I never worked with him. My first year was the year after he left to go and work for the San Francisco Giants, and his impact on the game of baseball at the independent/partner league level and just within the region is unmatched. But this is a new era. We're looking to the future. Lamar Rogers has a great team. I think this team is really just excited to get back on the field, and the community is excited to watch these Railcats take the next step. And opening day is the first step towards getting back to the playoffs, getting back to that championship level. So while it's great to have Greg Taggart back, and I'm certainly excited to watch him manage in person for the first time, I'm excited to meet him and just talk baseball with him. I think I've talked to you about this on this podcast before, but he's a Northern California guy. That's where my family's from. I'm excited to talk NorCal with him, but I'm just more so excited for this team to take the field. You know, They don't care who's on the other side. They just want to win.
Now, I know you're a guy who really likes to share the stories of players and things. So who's a player or two that whose story you think Railcats fans are really going to get into knowing this year?
You know, I think you could go up and down this roster and you could find a whole bunch of them. But I'll specialize with, or rather I'll focus on some of the guys we brought in at the start of this season. And I'll start with actually one of our most recent acquisitions in Gio Diaz. He's a young guy. He's not too much younger than me, actually. He just turned 24 last February, and he's starting to make a name for himself in this game. He spent 3 years playing Division I at St. Mary's over in California, and following the pandemic, he decided to take a leap of faith and go and sign with the Washington Nationals organization. Unfortunately, things didn't quite work out for him over there, but he continued to keep his head down, go to work, and he earned himself an opportunity in the Pioneer League with the Rocky Mountain Vibes. And what does he do? Just go out and be one of the league's absolute best hitters. In fact, this past season, he broke the Rocky Mountain Vibes single-season hit record, and that goes back to their first year as an affiliated team. Granted, they were only an affiliated team for 1 year, and the team itself has only been around for three seasons, but 148 hits speak for themselves, a 394 average, a 909 OPS, and having talked to him about joining the American Association, this is a trade he really wanted. The Railcats and the Vibes worked things out. Their manager wanted to see Gio take that next step, and Gio wants to push himself to get to that next level and get back to affiliated baseball, and he's doing it in an unconventional route, and he's just such a hard worker. I got a really nice story about him. I was actually the one who picked him up from the airport, and by the time we got back to the Steelyard, the team had already started their first workout of the season. So I take him down to the field. I introduce him to Lamar, and the first thing Gio says to Lamar is, "Hey, can I get hooked up with some gear? I want to get out on the field." And within 20 minutes of arriving at the Steelyard, he's taking ground ball. That just tells you the type of person he is. He just wants to get to work and be the best player that he can be. On the pitching side of things, I'll go with Matt Leon, because I was actually just talking to him about his story the other day. Obviously, there's a lot of pressure on him to do well for this team because of what the Railcats gave up to get him, you know, he being the other piece of that Tom Wallraven trade. But he's a guy that bet on himself early in his career. You know, out of high school, he only had one offer, and that was to be a preferred walk-on at Seton Hall. And even then, it was no guarantee that he made the team. And then 3 days before opening day, his freshman year, his head coach brings him into his office and says, "Hey, congratulations, you've made the roster." And then goes on to be one of the best relief pitchers that Seton Hall ever had. He had some success in the Angels organization, but he spent 2020 and 2021 training to get better and to get back into game shape and to be in a position where he could work his way back to being an affiliated pitcher. And then in his first season in New York with the Boulders, he embraced that role at the back of the bullpen late in games. He obviously turned into the team's closer, but before then, he was their fireman. So he would always be the one who came in tough situations, and it seemed like every single time he took the mound, he got his team out of trouble. And now he's trying to take that next step himself. He's in the American Association, which I think it's fair to say that's a step up in terms of the competition that you face from the Frontier League to the American Association. Now he's trying to prove that he deserves to get back to affiliated baseball. And really, those are just two stories. You go up and down this roster, everyone has an incredibly interesting path as to how they got here. And they're all playing for the same thing, which I think is incredibly cool, and that's to get back into the affiliated ranks.
I think that's pretty interesting with Gio in the situation that there's a guy that's going to be coming out of the Pioneer League that put up big numbers, and we'll see how will guys that had success in that league do with the American Association, and I think that will tell us as people that follow the partner league scene exactly what the level of play is in the Pioneer League compared to the American Association. So I think Gio's story will be an interesting one to follow as the year goes on.
Oh, definitely. And obviously, they're still trying to find their footing as a partner league. This is only their third year unaffiliated from Major League Baseball. And I think the level of competition out there is darn good. Obviously, there's going to be a bit of an adjustment period just because of the way the Pioneer League is structured. But I think you could see a lot of guys go from the Pioneer League to the American Association and have a lot of success.
Well, Ryan, before closing us out, wanted to ask you, for fans out there wanting to keep track of your broadcast this season, where would they catch you?
So, obviously, you can go to AATV, that's league standard, but we do have a local radio deal with WeFM in Michigan City, but if you don't want to pay for American Association TV and you still want to listen, we're on Mixlr. Just search Mixlr.com, search Railcats, and we're there. You can watch us, or you can listen to us play for free. You can watch us if you pay for American Association TV, and it's must-watch. This is a much different Railcats team than you're used to, and it's a fun group, such a talented bunch, great individuals, and I think we're going to turn a lot of heads this year.
Well, Ryan, close us out with this. When the Gary Southshore Railcats are holding the Miles Wolf Cup above their heads at the end of the season, what happened to make that occur?
That's a very good question. Last year I said it was pitching, and this year I'm going to stick with that. You have a lot of new arms coming in, and I think you have a lot of high-potential arms, but the question is, can they put it together? And these guys who have been in this American Association setup for a few years continue to progress and take those next steps to reach the top of the league. Can these new guys come in and have that quick adjustment period that gets this team over the top? So I'll say the pitching staff develops into one of the best in this league. Obviously, this is more of an offensive league. You've seen that over the last couple of years ever since the reorganization. And good pitching beats good hitting every single time. So I think it's going to be a lot on the pitching because our offense is going to be just fine.
That's fantastic. Ryan Zimmerman, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for doing this.
Thanks so much for having me. Thank you. Get excited for opening day, guys.